home to be with the Lord. Makes you long for it a little bit more, don't it, Brother Tommy? Several of our men, several of our ladies have experienced burying a mother. The Lord has spared me that so far. If he tarries, probably one day I'll have to do the same. And I tell you, man, heaven's just getting sweeter. Brother Hofford knows exactly that heartache and that pain. Well, thank God there is a heaven. And that old graveside where we walked yesterday, Brother Sam, that wasn't the end. It wasn't goodbye. It's just we'll see you after a while. Hallelujah. Didn't put a coffin in the ground, but a hope chest. Amen. Didn't put something in there to stay. It's coming back out. Amen. It went in defiled, but it's coming out perfect. Hallelujah. Acts chapter number 1 tonight. Acts chapter number 1. Thank you, Brother Todd. Enjoyed that good singing. Hey, before I preach, let's have Brother Jeremiah and his wife, Miss Nina. Why don't y'all stand up right there where you are? Little Bird told me that today is your 11th, yesterday, 11th wedding anniversary. Congratulations, guys. Amen. Amen. That's a day we're always going to make a big deal out of. Amen. The Lord gives your marriage another year. You better thank God and give him praise and give him glory because they're flying apart at the seams. Amen. Y'all just had one too, Brother Anthony? 36 years. Tuesday. Denise Waters has put up with you 36 years. That's a miracle. I know you. And I know she knows you better than I do. I wasn't but 12, amen. I'm telling you, he ain't right. This lady lives in torment day in and day out. Amen. I love Brother Anthony. That's my friend, amen. God bless you, Miss Denise. Happy anniversary. 36 years. What a blessing. We're trying to catch you, brother, if y'all slow down. We'll be there in about six more. Amen. Acts chapter number 1. I'm going to continue where I left off on Wednesday night. On Wednesday night, we talked a little bit about the issue of witnessing. The issue of witnessing. I hope you understand and realize that as a Christian, you have a responsibility to witness and to tell others about Christ. How many of you would be real honest and say I'm slack in that area at times? That's every one of us, amen? I kind of go on cycles. I don't know if anybody else is that way. I'll get on, then get off, then get on. And when I get off, the Lord will use something to convict me about it and skin my hide pretty good and make me get after it again. But I kind of helped myself a little bit Wednesday night, and I encouraged Brother Joe, testified this morning, and I guess service was so good for him this morning, he didn't need no more tonight, so he didn't come back. But what? Oh, he said a family member died. So anyway, love Brother Joe, just picking at him. But he said the Lord convicted him about it. And Brother Charles, brother, you preach and bring down conviction on Charles Dyer. You've done something, man. I mean, that's like getting the Pope in the altar or something. Amen. No, I'm kidding, brother. Brother Charles went and talked to a lost man this week. And then the Lord opened the door for me an opportunity to talk to a lost man this week. And I just wonder how many of you had the opportunity to talk to somebody that's lost. I just wonder. Now, listen, I asked the question, I wonder how many of you had the opportunity. I already know the answer to that. Every one of you did. But I wonder how many took the opportunity to share the gospel with somebody. Even if it's nothing more than handing a gospel tract to somebody. Anybody can do that. Amen. On Wednesday night, I want to look at Acts chapter 1 and verse number 8. Acts chapter number 1 and verse number 8. We looked at that Wednesday night. But the Lord said, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Jesus is about to go off the scene. He's about to ascend back to heaven, and he gives the disciples his departing instructions. What were they? Witness of me. Ye shall be witnesses of me. We read about it in Luke the other night, about how we're supposed to tell what we've seen and what we've heard. What is a witness? You go to court and they call their witnesses that somebody who saw something or heard something. Is that right? We have soul winning clinics. I've been to them. I've taught soul winning courses and all that. I don't believe soul winning is something that is taught. I believe it's something that is caught. Let me say it again. I don't believe it's something that's taught. Why should I have to teach you how to tell somebody what happened to you? Now, it's okay to learn some scriptures to use, and it's okay to learn some manners as you go knocking door to door and things like that. Don't push yourself into somebody's house. Take some breath mints with you. Amen. I mean, just some. That's a courtesy. Amen. Amen. If your breath's so bad, they don't want to hear the gospel. Amen. They're just trying to get away from you. But I mean, there's some things we can teach, but being a witness, I cannot teach you to do. The lady at the well, we talked about her. She met Jesus. Jesus gave her that well of water springing up inside her unto everlasting life. She ran back to the city, left her water pots. That implies she left in a hurry. She didn't stick around for further instructions. She didn't go through a discipleship program. She didn't go through a seven-step this or that. She just went back to town and said, hey, come, you got to come meet this guy. You got to come meet this guy. Andrew went and got his brother, Simon Peter. He said, you got to come meet this guy. I mean, everywhere Jesus went, people came in contact with him. Their lives were changed, and they went back wherever they were from and said, you got to come meet this fellow Jesus. He'll change your life. Amen. I thought about the blind man. After Jesus healed him, they asked him, what happened to you? He said, I don't know. All I know is his name was Jesus. He said, I once was blind, but now I see. And I believe they said his name was Jesus. That's about all I can tell you. Hey, that's enough, isn't it? Hey, all I know is I was on my way to hell. I was a sinner, condemned, unclean. I asked God to forgive me, and somehow in my heart, I know he did. And now I'm on my way to heaven when I die. I can't explain it all, but come hear my preacher talk about it, son. Yeah. Amen. That's a witness. That's a witness. When you go into work on Monday morning and somebody says, how was your weekend? Opportunity.
Right.
Opportunity. Talk about how the day was. Amen. Tell somebody how church was on Sunday. We all ought to do better in this area of witnessing. Amen. It's not just mine, Brother Freddie, and Brother Charles's job. It's not just Brother Greg's job to go up on the street corner and preach the gospel. It's all of our job to witness and be witnesses everywhere we go. Amen. And it's not just a magnet or a scripture verse on the back end of your vehicle, which those do help. Sometimes they invite conversation. I used to have one, and I got tired of it. I didn't get tired of what it said. I got tired of what it caused. It said, if it ain't King James, it ain't Bible. And I just really got tired of arguing people everywhere I went. Amen. Hey, one lady at Walmart standing at the back of my truck like this with her arms crossed, waiting on me to get out of the truck. I saw her in the rearview mirror. I knew. I said, this heifer's fixed to let me have it. I knew what it was. It's that King James Bible. It's bothering her. If something on a bumper sticker bothers you so much that you got to stand at the back of somebody's vehicle and wait on them to get out so you can chew them out about it, there might be something to that bumper sticker. Amen. I got out of my truck. She said, you don't really believe that, do you? I said, it's on my truck, ain't it? Anyway, I won't go into all that. But they do open up an opportunity to witness, but it's got to go a little bit further than that. On Wednesday night, we talked about the people of witnessing. The people of witnessing. Who is supposed to witness? Who is supposed to witness? Somebody answer me. Save people. Did you know I was taught to lead people to Christ before I ever knew Christ? I'm serious heart attack. I could take the Romans road and lead you to Christ before I knew Christ myself. Do you think it's possible for a lost man to tell another lost man how to be saved? Absolutely. Absolutely. Because it's not the man doing the leading, it's the Word of God. Amen. I told people how to be saved before and did not know Christ myself. Y'all are. Some people have a problem. You make statements like that. Well, I can tell you, for all have sinned, come short of the glory of God. But while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I can tell you all those things. but I didn't know them in my heart. All of God's children, if you're saved, you are to be a witness. The people of witnessing, we looked at it Wednesday night. I won't rehearse it all, but in Matthew chapter number 21, we found out that the sons were sent out to get the people in. And then in Luke chapter number 14, the servants. And then in Acts chapter 1, the saints of God. Sons, servants, and saints. That's the people of witnessing. Matter of fact, I fit all three of those. All three of those fit me up one side and down the other. I am a son of God. Amen. We've received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. I am a child of God. That makes me a son. I am a servant of God, and I am a saint of God. Amen. Sainthood in Christianity isn't something you earn. It's something that's given. I know if you're in the Catholic Church, you've got to earn sainthood, and you've got to do all these miracles and do all these different evidences of the power of God on you and all that bunch of mumbo jumbo. And I'm just here to tell you, man, if you're saved, you are a saint of God. Amen. So we are the people of witnessing. It's no more my responsibility than it is yours. I grew up in an era where people thought it was the preacher's job. And guess what? It is. But as much as it's my job to spread the gospel, it's your job to spread the gospel. The people of witnessing are the people of God. Then we talked about the power of witnessing. The power of witnessing. There's the problem of most Christians. They got all this head knowledge up here, but no power. The Lord said in the last days there'd be some having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. There's a lot of these churches cropping up across the country, and they've got a form of godliness. Amen. Are y'all listening? They've got a form of godliness. They've got to have all these programs because they ain't got no power. They got to have all these little special groups because they ain't got no power. Just having church isn't enough anymore. Amen. Y'all don't die on me. And let me say it again. Just having church ain't enough anymore. Well, we're living in a different time, and people are just not going to come back on Sunday night if there's not something special offered. Baloney. Amen. Let me say that again. That's a good Greek word. Amen. Baloney. You got to go to Bible school to get that. That means they're full of it. They're having to manufacture something to draw a crowd because they don't have the power of God. You get the power of God involved, and it'll get the work done. Amen. There was the power in Acts chapter number 1 in our verse a while ago. He said, ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. By the way, when you got saved, the Holy Ghost came upon you. Yeah. Yeah. Amen. We have the power. We've just got to be willing to use that power and allow that power to work in us and through us. Amen. We've got the power of the Spirit. We've got the power of Scriptures. Remember we mentioned that Sunday night. The Word of God's powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing asunder. Hey, this book will get the job done. It'll cut you like a new file. That's why I tell our people, when you come to the altar to pray with somebody who's lost, bring your Bible. Bring your Bible. Don't ask them to take your word for it that they're a sinner. Let God do the judging. I mean, it's one thing if I look at Brother Robbie and say, you're a sinner. Well, bless God, you're a sinner too. I mean, bless God. You know, I call him a name. He can call me a name. But when it's not me doing the calling, it's the Word of God doing the calling. That carries more weight than I do. Amen. Amen. There's a lot of these cute little tracts, and I get handed them different places I go. And Brother Eddie, have you seen these tracts? And I'm not knocking them. They have their place, I'm sure, but they've got one. It's a Finding Nemo track. Somebody gave me one the other day. It's an Andy Griffin track. I'm serious. It's got Barney and Opie and all that in it. And all that's good. But let me tell you something. You cannot replace the Word of God. Amen. Let me just say it again. You cannot replace the Word of God. That is the most important part in leading a soul to Christ. You have the power of the Holy Spirit in you, then you have the power of the Word of God in your hand. Amen. You know, 9 times out of 10, if you can get somebody to the point of saying, can I show you some Scripture? Very seldom have I got somebody to that point and they didn't get saved. Would you agree, Brother Freddie? Brother Charles, would you agree? If you get somebody to the point they let you read the Bible, and I always let them read it. Would you read that verse?
Yeah.
would you read that verse? And I'll read it with them. I'll highlight them in my Bible so they can see them good and say, read that verse. And boy, once you get them to the Word of God, I mean, that's almost a clincher, man. Amen. Oh, you can get people to admit they're lost all the time. I mean, that used to be a catchphrase when I was going up. Hey, man, where are you going? Hell if I don't change my ways. Y'all ever heard that? Man, you can get an old sinner out here in a heartbeat to tell you he's on his way to hell. But to get him to realize the power of that thing and the reality of that thing, it takes the power of the Holy Spirit and it takes the power of the Word of God. Amen? Amen. The people of witness and the power of witness. And we talked about the power of the Spirit, the power of Scriptures, and the power of supplication or praying. We ought to pray that God would put us in the path of somebody who needs to hear the gospel. Amen. 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 Brother Sam said in his Sunday school class, he was really praying that somebody out of his class would have a part in somebody getting saved here today. He did not even know that Brother Greg Nix was going back and preaching to the children's church. He did not know that while Brother Greg would be preaching that my grandson would be sitting there with tears running down his face, realizing he is lost and needed Jesus. Amen. You know what? He didn't even know who he was praying for, but he prayed. Bro Sam didn't have a clue who he was praying for. He just prayed somebody in his class. He mentioned that in the prayer room. He said, I just prayed somebody in my class to have something to do with somebody getting saved today. I'm telling you, there's power in prayer. I wonder, don't raise your hands because I don't want to be embarrassed. But I wonder how many of you prayed this morning before you got here that somebody would get saved here today. I wonder how many of you honestly did. I mean, actually dropped your head somewhere and said, God, touch my preacher, use him. Lord, may the power of God be real, that somebody hear the gospel and be born again today. Amen. The Bible said, you have not because you ask not. How many of you think it's God's will to save sinners? Amen. Said it wasn't his will that any should perish, but all come to repentance. So when we have sinners come in here, if they leave lost, they're leaving against the will of God. Amen. 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 But I believe if enough of us band together, we can pray the power of God so strong that they can't get out of here without getting in. Amen. If we'll make up our mind for next Sunday rolls around, we're going to shake heaven on their behalf because they'll be here. Nobody raised their hand and said they were lost this morning, but somebody lied. They was lost people in the building this morning. Y'all all right? They were lost people here today. There was more than one lost kid in Jill Children's Church, Junior Church, and Teen Church. Guarantee you, some left here lost today.
Amen.
Tells me maybe we're not praying quite hard enough. What about this? What if it was your lost family you've been coming to begging to come to church forever, and today happened to be the day they came? I'm going to tell you what you'd do. During fellowship, everybody's hands you shook, you'd say, hey, pray for my family that's here today. They're lost. Hey, pray for my family. You'd ask everybody you came in contact with. Well, what about somebody else's family? What about somebody else that a little old mother we may never meet? I've had them call me on the phone and say, you don't know me. I live somewhere else, but my son came to your church and got saved. Somebody somewhere was praying for that sinner that was in here this morning. And we ought to join up with them and yoke up with them in prayer and pray the power of God, not let them out the door as they leave here on Sunday. Amen. We ought to pray that the power of God's real in here on Sunday in every place. I pray for every part of this property on Sunday. I pray for every bus route that people be saved off the bus. I love those Sundays when they get saved before they ever even get here. I like that. I like that Sunday I pulled in the parking lot. Sister Donna had one down in the parking lot out here leading her to the Lord. I was sitting there in my truck. I ain't even got out of the truck yet, and I'm watching people get saved.
Yeah,
woo, that's good.
Yeah,
I thought, man, I can just go ahead and throw this Toyota in reverse and go into the house and say, it's been good to be in church. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. I'm telling you, brother, that's good evidence God's in this thing when you got them getting saved in the yard before they ever even get in the door. On a regular basis, somebody stops by my office in between Sunday school and church. On a regular basis, not every Sunday, but quite often. Hey, preacher, just wanted you to know, I had one saved in my Sunday school class.
Amen.
I wouldn't take my children to a church where they weren't presented the gospel in Sunday school.
Right. That's right.
Somebody said, well, I just don't think that's the proper place. Well, you're an idiot.
Amen.
God bless you, I love you, but they ain't a bad place to get saved.
Right.
Amen. Right. Let me say it again. They ain't a bad place to get saved. Some preachers are so cotton-picking, jealous, and scared, and power-hungry. If they don't have a part of everything that takes place, they can't handle it. Hey, man, I'm glad you'll lead somebody to the Lord in your... Amen.
Amen.
Y'all all right? Man, I'll never get to... I'm getting stuck here. I done preached all this Wednesday night. That's because some... I'm preaching again because some of y'all wasn't in here. Amen. We talked about the people of witnessing and the power of witnessing, and then Wednesday night we talked about the place of witnessing. Where should we witness? Where should we witness? Acts chapter number 1, uttermost parts of the earth. Acts chapter number 5, house to house. House to house. Luke chapter number 14, the streets and the lanes. In other words, everywhere. Everywhere. Now, I did give some advice on Wednesday night. Let me give it again in case you weren't in here. If it's against the rules on your job to hand out gospel literature, if it's against the rules to witness while you're on the clock, don't do it. And if you do, you deserve to get fired.
That's right.
Well, bless God, I'm going to speak up for the Lord. No, don't be an idiot.
That's right.
They're the ones paying you. They get to say what you can or cannot do. Amen. You can get on a job and get these that's super spiritual, and they'll sit around and talk about the Lord. I had it happen to me on a construction job. They thought as long as they was talking about the Lord, I'd let them get by without working. I've had to say, hey, I ain't paying y'all to talk Bible. Well, you're supposed to be a preacher. Well, right now I'm a plumber. To get your plumbing rear end back in the ditch, amen? We'll talk Bible at lunch. Amen. You've got to use some common sense. You ought to use some common sense with your family. Don't make your family hate your guts. Amen. I know some lost people that won't get saved because of the way their family acts toward them. Y'all all right? Now, there's certain areas where you have to take a stand. If you've got a brother or sister or cousin or whatever, and they're always after you about letting your kids spend a night with their kids, and there's things going on in that house you don't want your kids to be around, hey, you've got a responsibility to your children first.
Amen.
Amen. If they watch wicked stuff on television, you don't want your kid around it, it's your job to say no. But you don't do it in a judgmental way. No, our kids can't come to your house because you're wicked. You're never going to reach them. If all you ever do is judge them, let me encourage you to do something Jesus did with sinners. Love them. Be there when they, be the first one there when they got a problem. Be the first one there when they need somebody. Amen. Love them. You'll love a whole lot more people to Jesus than you will judging people to Jesus. I'm just saying, use some common sense. We're to witness everywhere. We're to witness everywhere. And somebody would say, well, you shouldn't be a Jesus fanatic. Yeah, you should be a fanatic. You should be a fanatic. If you're going to be a fanatic about anything, be a fanatic about Jesus. But pray God give you some common sense. You want to lure people to the gospel, not drive them away from it. You want to make the gospel look attractive. Amen. Anyway, I'll leave that alone. The people of witnessing, the power of witnessing, the place of witnessing tonight. Let's pick up where we left off Wednesday night. The purpose for witnessing. The purpose of witnessing. John chapter number 4. John chapter number 4. The purpose of witnessing. Why witness? Why witness? John chapter number 4. Number one reason for witnessing to sinners is because of the concern of the Savior. Jesus worried about sinners in John chapter 4 and Luke chapter number 19, 1 Timothy chapter number 1. Look at verse number 35. He said, say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white, all ready to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. Now listen, Jesus was concerned about the harvest. Jesus was concerned about somebody going out there and gathering the fruit. Amen. Did you know he's still concerned about it? How concerned is Jesus about winning souls? He died for it. He died for it. Listen, he didn't die for a women's weight loss program. Y'all all right? He didn't, and churches have them. I'm not against it. Yeah, it's good to be healthy, but that ain't why Jesus died. He didn't die for a teen skating party. He didn't die for a ladies' group. He died for sinners. Amen. Did you know, I know we live in totally different times now, but I've read a lot of church history. Do you know what church consisted of years ago? Singing, praying, preaching. That's it. Amen. They wasn't every other kind of group in the world, and I'm not against those. I'm just saying those are byproducts. The main function of the church is to be a lighthouse to a world dying and on its way to hell. Amen. Y'all all right? Problem today is just plain old singing, praying, preaching bore the average Christian to death. Bore them to death if it ain't got enough fluff in it. My wife has a friend and they've started going to a church pretty close to us. I won't say the name of it. They've started going to that church. My wife said, I wish they'd come to our church. I really do wish they'd come to our church. She said, I know they'd love it and they'd fit right in, but they love the music. Y'all all right? They choose the music over the right Bible. It'd be a cold day in a booger man's house before we got a rock band in here. Amen. I'm just going to go on and say it. It's going to be a long time before you hear our choir singing the pre-recorded music. Not while we got a Brother Todd Thompson. Not when God's give us talent. Well, some of y'all looking squeamish on me. We're not here to put on a show. I got a friend of mine. Listen, I love him with all my heart. And they got a choir that will blow the back doors off this building. Professional. But you know what they've got? While the choir's singing, they're singing with the, they've got their self recorded on CD. They call it stacking the choir. In other words, they're playing the CD of them singing through the sound system and they're singing along with it. I got a problem with that. I'm sorry. That just ain't real, man. Anyway. How'd I get off on that? I'm sorry. I didn't mean to. The purpose of winning souls, that's what I was talking about. It's not entertaining people. It's keeping people out of hell. Amen. It's keeping people out of hell. If you listen to some of those, Brother Charles said he was listening to one the other night, those classic Billy Graham sermons. And some people love nothing more than to get up and trash Billy Graham and run him in the ground. Just let me go ahead and say, he's done more for God than you'll ever think about. In his latter years, he's gone the wrong direction, made some bad decisions, but I ain't throwing rocks over somebody that's going to have several million people to his account. I'm going to just leave that right there. You just judge me all you want to. I love old Billy Graham. Amen. He's done enough good. Let me give you my Jolos thing. If you listen to those old classic sermons of his, when people were getting saved by the thousands, do you know what he was preaching? Do you know what he was preaching? Ye must be born again. He wasn't talking about diet, friend. He wasn't talking about living a healthy lifestyle. He was talking about heaven and hell. Period. No great, elaborate illustrations. You're right. Just a simple gospel message. Sure. that if y'all sat and heard it today, you'd be bored to death. It wasn't dynamic enough. It wasn't funny enough. He didn't tell enough story. The gospel got the job done, friend. And I'm leaning more and more that direction the older I get. Amen. I'm just going to preach this book right here. Amen. Paul said it was the power of God unto salvation. Amen. The purpose of witnessing is the concern of the Savior. And the concern of the Savior was so great that he went to Calvary and shed his blood, died, buried, and rose again that sinners might be saved. He said, I'm come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. We have the purpose of witnessing is the concern of the Savior, but then we have the command of the Scriptures in Luke chapter number 24. He said, preach the gospel to every creature. It's a command. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them. Y'all remember that? That's what we call the Great Commission. The Great Commission, the Baptist Church today makes a big deal about the Great Commission, but what's the deal about preaching it if we're not carrying it out? Amen. It is the command of the Scriptures, not just the concern of the Savior, but we're commanded. Hey, we're not shouting like we were this morning.
Yeah. Amen.
But brother, we're to be a witness.
Right. Amen.
Amen. Do you know that's how we fill these pews up?
Yes, sir.
Amen. I'm just looking across this crowd tonight, the people I personally witnessed to and invited to church. We was making fun of Brother Anthony tonight. I remember the first time I visited him. His little old daughter sitting right back there. Hard-headed thing. Stand up in that little old youth choir and big old tears run down her face. She wasn't about that tall. Pray for my daddy. Please pray for my daddy. I want my daddy to come to church. I thought, bless God, I'm going to see her daddy. She is breaking my heart.
Amen.
It works.
Yeah.
I ain't got a better friend in the world. Man, I'm glad I went out there. And I ain't saying he's here because of me. I believe he's here because of that praying youngin' and that praying wife that's put up with him for 36 years. Amen. I just got to be there to witness the fruit of their labor. Amen. I'm saying we're commanded. We're commanded. It's our job. Listen, I'm gonna carry this a little step further. And it's probably a bold statement in saying this. If you're not sharing the gospel, you're not right with God.
Amen.
If you're not sharing the gospel in some way, you're not fulfilling the will of God. And if you're not in the will of God, you're not right with God. Is that okay? I don't know if my mom and dad, mama wasn't feeling good. She barely had her voice back this morning to be here. But my mother and stepdad, when they mail their bills back every month, when they pay their bills, they put a gospel track in them. They've done it for years.
Amen.
Don't do that if you don't pay your bills. Amen. Don't send them a track and a bouncing check. Amen. I was with a preacher one time. He said he didn't have no money for a tip. He's just going to leave her a track. I said, no. If you ain't going to leave no money, don't make Jesus look bad on account of it. Amen. So I got out the money for the tip and put it in the track. I said, man, don't you ever leave a track and don't leave no money. Don't cheapen him. Amen. We have a command to witness. It's our job, man. For me to be right with God, I need to hand out some gospel tracts. I need to share the gospel when the opportunity arises. I met a guy Saturday. I told the men in the prayer room about it. It's not Saturday, Friday. And I was introduced to him. My friend Chris introduced me to him. And I shook a man's hand. I said, boy, it's good to meet you. I've heard a lot about you. I said, you go to church anywhere? Well, no, don't really go to church much. And something grabbed a hold of me. And said, remember what you preached Wednesday night? You need to ask him more than that.
Yeah. Amen.
I said, well, are you saved? Are you a Christian? Well, I don't really know about all that, he said. And he just kind of tight-lipped and kind of brushed me off. Yeah. Had something else to do. Actually, he was listening, had an iPod, the ear pod things in his ear. And he actually acted like he couldn't hear me, turned around and walked off. Before I left, you know what he said? He said, I'm going to be thinking about what you asked me. I said, okay, I'll see you soon.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. Brother, let's be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let me tell you what, sometimes it takes guts, man, to do what you're commanded to do. Why is it, man? I can talk about 10-pound bass with anybody.
Yeah, you're right.
I can talk about a 10-point buck with anybody. I can talk deer hunting. I can talk horses with anybody. The stuff I enjoy, the stuff my flesh enjoys, I can talk about that all day long. But brother, you let the Holy Spirit lay it on my heart to witness to somebody on an airplane or at a horse arena somewhere. You let let the Holy Ghost convict me about witness to somebody, and all of a sudden, the nerves set in. Does anybody else experience that?
Amen.
If you don't, man, something's wrong with you. Something's wrong with you, man. I'm telling you, my heart starts going, I'm talking about anxiety, man. I need a nerve pill. Let me go get a Valium, and I'm going to come back and witness to you, but amen. No, I'm kidding. But that's the way it feels. You feel like your heart's going to explode. And all of a sudden, your tongue sticking to the roof of your mouth. You know what that is? It's nerve. If it makes you nervous, it's probably a good thing to do.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. Well, should I just witness when I'm led to? No, you ought to witness whether you're led to or not. But it's those special times when you're led to, those you don't want to miss. Because I believe those are divine appointments. When God puts somebody in your heart, puts somebody in your path, and all of a sudden your heart starts pounding, you know you're supposed to talk to them, you're supposed to talk to them.
Amen.
Amen. The purpose of witnessing, the concern of the Savior, the command of the Scriptures. Listen, Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 1, the condition of the sinner. They're dead in their trespasses and sins. You got to understand, they're going to hell.
Amen.
How many of you have lost family members that you love? People you love. Do you understand? If they die, you'll never see them again. If you have to gather around the casket this week, you'll never have another opportunity to tell them about heaven again, ever.
Amen.
The condition of sinners ought to drive us to witness. The fact that people are going to hell.
Yeah. Yes.
Here, what's the last holiday we had where everybody was at our house? Was it Christmas? My little old cousin, Corby. I remember when he said he got saved at White Oak when he was young. Man, I cornered him up. I had to know. I know everybody in my family's testimony. I said, Corby, how you doing? I'm doing good. And he is. He's doing real good. Working, clean. The kid's doing great. I said, Corby, are you sure you're saved? He said, yeah, I'm saved. He said, you remember when I got saved? I said, yeah, I remember. I said, but I don't know if you really got it. He said, oh, I really got it. But he went on and told me he's sure his salvation.
Amen, brother.
Okay, I ain't. You know, he's kind of defensive. But yeah, I'm saved. I'm so, well, okay, all right. Good.
Yes.
Amen. The condition of sinners ought to be enough for purpose for us to witness. Amen. Man, I got friends that if they don't get saved, they'll go to hell. Amen. Well, I'm afraid they'll make fun of me. So, what if it works? What if it works? The purpose for witnessing. The preparation for witnessing. You're not going to witness if you're not prepared to.
Amen.
You understand that? You're not going to witness if you're not prepared to. We've got to prepare. If you're going to do anything, you've got to prepare. Amen. If you're going to do anything, you've got to prepare.
Amen.
I'm thinking to build a shed at my house for my horse to get up under out of the rain. You know what I got laying on my dresser? A list. I got to prepare. I can't just go to Home Depot and go, oh, I probably need a couple of them, a couple of that. And you know what? I'm going to go back and forth to Home Depot 100 times before I get that shed built.
Yeah. Amen.
I got to prepare for that thing. Got to make sure I got everything I need. If you're going to witness, it's got to be something you're going to prepare for. Amen?
Amen.
Well, how do we prepare? Well, dedication to the Savior. Make sure we're right with Him. We okay tonight? Is this boring some of y'all? You act like it. Amen. We're talking about keeping people out of hell. That ought to be an exciting thing.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. Man, my grandson got saved this morning. That excites me, man. I want to see some more.
Yeah. Amen.
By dedication to our Savior, by supplication in our spirit, and by meditation in the Scriptures, well, we ought to be prepared. You plant enough of that book in you, it's going to come out.
Amen.
Well, I just don't know if I know what to say. I don't think you can say anything wrong. Not if you've got the right spirit. You pray the Lord to help you. Well, I just don't know enough. Do you know you got saved? Do you know you got saved?
Amen.
Isn't that enough? How much did you know when you got saved?
Amen.
Now, give that some thought. I mean, just think about that for a minute. How much did you know when you got saved? It worked for you, didn't it?
Amen.
You know all it took? It didn't matter what that person said to you.
Right.
It didn't matter what that preacher preached. The average person will stand up and say, I can't tell you what they is preaching, but I knew I was lost.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen.
You don't remember the message.
You're right.
Some of you, it's all you can do to remember the messenger. I don't know exactly what sermon it was to bring conviction on my heart that New Year's Eve when I got saved, but something did.
Yeah.
I can't pinpoint you and say it was this or it was that. I just realized I was lost and I need to be saved. Man, just open your mouth. Pray and ask God to help you and lead you as you go. Be prepared to witness. Do you know what? If you'll make up your mind tonight, I'm going to witness somebody tomorrow. I'm going to witness somebody tomorrow. If I can't do that, I'm going to at least give them a gospel tract and invite them to church.
Amen.
I'm at least going to give them a gospel tract and invite them to church. I cannot wait to get to heaven. I'm going to have Brother Bruce DeLane. Brother Bruce DeLane, he's a character. My wife's met him. He was the pastor for years at the Fellowship Baptist Church in Lebanon, Ohio, the home of the Fellowship Tract League. And Brother Bruce, I mean, now he's a field rep. He's traveling in evangelism now. But Brother Bruce, you get him off by himself, and all he does, he's like a storybook for Fellowship Tract League. He'll sit there for 45 minutes and tell you story after story after story. See, people write in and send letters who get saved off them gospel tracts. It'll blow your mind. Now us, people ain't mailing us letters. But that doesn't mean they're not working. It'll blow your mind, some of the stuff, man. People in other countries that where multiple people get saved off of one gospel tract. One lady, I may have told you this, she was a drug addict, and she had a convertible Mustang. And she parked at a convenience store. She had met a guy there to buy dope. And while she was out making her deal to buy her dope, somebody walked by going in the convenience store. Her top was down on the convertible Mustang, just threw a track in her seat. She got in the car buying dope. A track will mess with you, amen? She saw that track and made her mad. Somebody threw that track in her car. She wadded up and threw it in the passenger side floorboard. The next day, she's taking her sister to school. Her sister picked up the wadded up track, read it, stuck it in her pocket, read it through several more times that day, got saved at school. Brought the wadded up track home, read it to her mother, and her mother got saved. Her mother called upstairs to her adult son and said, come down here, you've got to hear this. And the adult son got saved. The dope head daughter comes home, and here's what happened to little sister and big brother and mama, and dope head sister gets born again. The one who wadded up. Don't tell me that stuff don't work, man. In Philadelphia, where I'm going this week, there is a prison. And the prison was 90% Muslim population. And one Christian got hold of the Muslim tract. And all it does is tell you exactly what the Quran says. It doesn't bash the Muslim. All it does is tell you what the Quran says. And that guy took that one tract and led 80-something Muslims to Christ. Called or wrote Fellowship Tract League and asked could he have another one. Because this one was so worn out they couldn't read it anymore. They called the warden, found out how many was the population of the prison, and they sent enough for everybody to have 4 or 5. Amen. I'm just telling you, it works, man. It works. Preparation. We need to prepare to be. I believe we're in the last days. I believe we're in the last days. Amen. Listen, there ought to be a preparation for witnessing. There ought to be a passion for witnessing. There ought to be a passion for witnessing. Amen. There ought to be a burden in our heart. There ought to be a burden for the lost in our heart. Every Wednesday night, I threw away a bunch of copies a while ago. Where'd they go? Every Wednesday night in this sheet right here, I ain't got time to look over it, but on this sheet there's pray for lost family members on this prayer sheet that you get every Wednesday night. Do you just skim over those? Or do you pray for those lost family members? Somebody's burden for them, or they wouldn't write it down there.
Amen.
We ought to share that burden. How long has it been since you had a burden for somebody? I mean, really, it troubled you that somebody's lost, and if they don't get saved, they'll go to hell. Man, something's wrong when God's people ain't burdened. Now listen, Sister Glenda will tell you, we grew up. And they some old gray-haired women. You didn't have to wonder what they was praying about. You could hear them on the back row. Oh, God, save my boy. God, save this and save. And man, we heard that every week. You know what that was? That was people with broken hearts, man, with a burden on their heart, and secondly, a broken heart for somebody lost and going to hell. You know what? 9 times out of 10, whoever they was praying for got saved.
Amen.
Sister Deborah sang about mama praying. Mama's prayer carries some weight. I believe my mama's praying kept me out of jail. Do you know I've never been arrested? Never had handcuffs put on my hand? Never sat in the back of the cop car when I had to. Gary Gulledge crammed me in there a couple times, playing. But I ain't never. That old, we used to call him Enos, that old, the police in Hiram. You remember him? He acted like he's going to lock me up one night, rode me around Hiram for about 30 minutes, took me back in my truck. Anyway, I ain't never been in trouble with the law. You say you was a good boy. I've been where everybody else went to jail. Except me. You know how I you said, man, you lucky. No. When I'd get home, there'd be a light shining out from under mama's door. Amen. Somebody with a burden and a broken heart laying in there praying. Amen? We ought to have a burden and a broken heart. We ought to have a brave heart, a passion. I mean, boy, if you care enough, you'll tell them. If you care enough, you'll tell them. Don't wait till they're laying on their deathbed dying with cancer. I don't know how many times people said, Brother Eddie, would you go to the hospital and see my so-and-so? They're dying. They've told them they could go at any minute. I don't know if they're saved. Why'd you wait till now? I'm not against going to the hospital and asking grandmother, grandpa, aunt, or uncle. I'm not against going and asking them if they're saved. But you should have found that out a long time ago.
Amen.
You would blow your mind how many times we go to a funeral or get called to do a funeral. My first question, were they saved? Were they saved? Well, we don't know. We don't know. That's not my responsibility to find out. Now, I'm not getting on anybody tonight. I'm saying that lays on us all.
Yeah.
If I got to bury my mama tomorrow, and James Benson looks at me, or James is in heaven, what's his son's name, Robbie? If Robbie looks at me and says, Eddie, do you know if mama was saved? Yeah, I can tell you about it.
Amen.
If I had to bury my wife, God forbid, I can tell you about when she got saved.
Hallelujah.
If I have to bury one of my children, I can tell you about when they got saved. I have to bury my little old Granny Faye, and I'll have to do that one of these days. I can tell you about when she got saved.
Amen.
Wow, they're my family. And I want to know.
Amen.
I want to know. If I had to bury my little old cousin who was at my house Christmas, I'd tell you about when he got saved.
Amen.
I don't want to wait till they're dying. They may not even be in their right mind.
Yes.
Right.
Don't wait till they're in a coma. And said, so go ahead and talk to them, Brother Eddie. I think they can hear you. And I've been there and had to do that. And I, honest to God, I don't mind doing that. And there's nothing wrong with doing that. But that's not the time.
Amen, brother.
The time is when you've got the opportunity. Don't wait till they're dying. Tell them when they're living. Ask them when they're living. Ask God to give you a burden and a broken heart and to give you the courage to open your mouth and speak to people you care about. Amen. I know we ain't jumping pews tonight. The shouting message was this morning. Man, this is the serving message right here. Amen. This is the handing out the orders message right here. Amen. Well, I'll tell you what, if we'll get a hold of this, we'll come in here shouting. Amen. Amen. I promise you, you won't sit there dried up and dead. You bring a convert in church with you next Sunday. Yeah. Amen. That's my goal. I'm working. I want to bring somebody in here that personally I led to the Lord. Yeah. Not just somebody who came in, heard me preach, and got saved. Somebody that I actually went out and got.
Yeah.
Amen. I just want to preach this to you. I want to practice it. I'm trying. Some people tell you, oh, witnessing is the easiest thing you'll ever do. Baloney, it's the hardest thing you'll ever do.
Amen.
Amen. But boy, it pays off big time when it works. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen. We ought to have a passion. Now listen, I'm going to close with this. We talked about the people of witnessing, the power, the place, the purpose, the preparation, the passion. But listen, there is a payday for witnessing. There is a payday for witnessing.
Hallelujah.
You remember when they went out, the man had lost a sheep and he left the 99 and he came back and he rejoiced over that one?
Yeah.
There'll be a time of rejoicing here.
Yeah.
Amen. There'll be a time of rejoicing here. But the Bible said in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2, there'll be a crown of rejoicing there. It's going to carry weight here in this life, but it's going to carry eternal weight. There is a payday for witnessing. I stood for what seemed like hours up here at Jones Wynn's funeral home. Brother Jay's body was laying here, and the head was up here, and I stood right here at the head of Brother Jay's casket for what seemed like hours. And I greeted and talked to everybody who came by there. And it'd blow your mind, Stacy, how many people stopped by there and say, I don't know where I'd be if it wasn't for him. I probably wouldn't even be saved if it wasn't for him. I heard that over and over and over and over and over.
Hallelujah.
I'm telling you, brother, it's worth it.
Amen.
It is worth it.
Yes.
I want to be held responsible for somebody going to heaven when they die.
Yeah,
amen.
Amen.
I want to be held responsible for somebody going to heaven when they die. Somebody years ago said something about one of their family members got in church and got all fired up. They said, yeah, that Eddie White got a hold of them. Now they're plumb crazy. Hallelujah, what a compliment.
Yeah.
Amen. Now all they talk about is church. They go every time the doors is open. Amen. Glory. I like that responsibility. Yeah, blame me. I'll take that blame any day of the week.
Yeah. Right. Amen.
Amen. We'll rejoice now. I rejoiced and wept when my grandson, he grabbed me around the neck this morning right there by the piano. He said, Papa, I got saved.
Yeah, right.
Man, I've just shouted over that all day, man. That's my heart's desire. But you imagine what kind of weight that's going to be. I'm going to rejoice about it now. But you know what that means? I'm going to spend forever in heaven with that little fella. Man, it carries some eternal weight.
Amen.
What a blessing. I get text messages during the week, encouragements from old Clyde. I sure am glad he got saved. Sure am glad he's in church, man.
Amen.
Imagine, it's not just here that we get to rejoice, and I get such encouragement from him here, but you imagine how encouraged I'm going to be when I see him in heaven?
Yeah.
And I'm going.
Amen.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Yes, sir. What a blessing. I came sitting in here on the front row. I like that, bro. You keep Stacy and Shane straight. Amen.
Yeah.
That's your job from here on out. Amen.
Yeah.
I'll bring you a ball bat Sunday. Amen.
Hallelujah.
This issue of witnessing, we could all do better at it.
Amen.
Guarantee you. These gospel tracts in my truck, it's been there too long. I bet if we could go home and go through your junk drawers, go through your dashes, we probably wouldn't have to buy tracts for a while. Are y'all listening? Probably every member of this church got at least 100 gospel tracts. Stuff somewhere. What a shame. They ought to be going out, shouldn't they? When's the last time you said, man, I'm out of tracks? Ask yourself that question. When's the last time you had to restock? When's the last time you had to go by the track rack and get you some more tracks? If you hadn't run out of tracks since Gold Rush Day, something's wrong. I didn't get a single amen there. Yeah, amen. We'll get serious about this thing. I believe every one of us. I mean, we're basically in the beginning of the year. It's just March. I believe every one of us could get somebody in a year's time. Surely, every one of us could. And we ought to. And it's another message, but we ought to go more than just witnessing to them and winning them. We ought to disciple them.
That's right.
Amen. You get somebody in church, man. You'll say, hey, I want your phone number. I'm going to check on you. Amen. I'm going to be a friend to you. I'm going to take you out to eat. You'll tell somebody at work this week, hey, go to church with me Sunday and I'll buy you lunch. I'll take you the Iron Horse, get you some black-eyed peas and fried green tomatoes. Y'all go down there and eat. Y'all won't go back to Rochester, son. I'm here. Amen. Get you some gravy and biscuits. That'll change your life. Amen. Yeah. Seriously. I remember there was a young man in our church years ago, Brother Clint Trader. Clint got a burden for his neighbor, Brother Allen, you might remember. He made a deal with his neighbor. He said, if you'll come to church one Sunday, I'll cut your grass for 2 weeks. He had a big yard too. That guy said, are you serious? You'll cut my grass if I'll just go to church? He said, yeah, and I'll shut up about it after that. If you'll just come one Sunday. He came. His name was Jason. He got saved. He got out of church later, but he got saved when he was there. Old Clint went down there and cut his grass. He said, man, that's the most fun I ever had cutting grass in my life. He said the whole time he was cutting his grass, he'd look up there and old Jason sitting on the porch drinking tea, smiling at him. He said, and it's worth it. Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
But you shouldn't have to bribe somebody to come to church. Do whatever you got to do, man.
Yeah. Right.
Amen. Do whatever you got to do. But let's do better. Let's try.
Amen.
I've told you every Sunday night for the last several weeks, hey, invite somebody to church this week. Tell somebody about the Lord this week. Leave a gospel tract somewhere this week. Be one of them undercover Christians. If you can't openly do it, secretly do it.
Yep.
Amen. Secretly do it. Now listen, we've got people in this church who are faithful to leave gospel tracts. You've got to learn to leave them where it's legal. Don't open products at Publix and put a tract in them. That's not good. Look, mommy, this cereal's got a prize and the gospel, amen. The manager at Publix don't like that a whole lot. You know, a lot of that stuff like butter, you open it and then it's got the little plastic seal you have to peel off. We have people in our church opening the butter and putting tracks in it. Amen. I appreciate the zeal, I do, amen. But let's use some good sense about it, amen. Had the Walmart manager in Union Cities called me twice, almost threatening me, because it's what he said. He didn't say trashing up. He said, y'all got to stop this tracking up my parking lot. I thought, but there's enough of something about you. You know what a track is. A lot of times, them sinners will say, you can't leave these pamphlets. But if they know enough to call it a track, they know what it is. Amen. I didn't say a word. Amen. Anyway, let's do better. Let's do better. How many of you say, hey, preacher, I'm going to try and get somebody in church Sunday. I'm going to do something this way. I'm going to try to give out a gospel tract. I'm going to try to do better. Amen? Good. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. Ashley, y'all come sing a verse.
Amen.
Yes.
Y'all listen.